on Triple J.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good night.
That's the magic of this catch-up. We don't know where you are or what you're doing.
Also, you wanted me to stop?
Oh, I thought you might. We might do a ping-pong banter-style scenario. But you just had a little brain fade and looked away.
That happened actually the other day, didn't it, when we were on air?
Yeah, it's been happening a lot, actually.
Just me or you as
no,
well?
No, just you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not a professional. I don't know how I got this job. I was just walking by the office and I said, can I have a go at this old thing?
That's what happened to Eddie Perfect. He was walking past the Play School office and they went, you seem like you know how to entertain children. He went, no, I don't. I'm a punk cabaret bad boy. And they went, who cares? Get in here.
Do you see that there's articles around at the moment that are saying like, mums are going gaga for Play School presenter. Like that definitely wasn't supposed to be the angle for Eddie Perfect.
No.
But, you know, he has good hair.
It's true.
What can he expect?
And he came on our show and performed a beautiful Play School style rendition of Safia's Counting Sheep.
Also, Alice in Wonderland came on the show. She's just been going great guns. I remember when we spoke to her a couple of years ago, and she'd just been doing Ibiza and just so many shows. She looked exhausted, and she basically said she just lives on, like, Red Bulls and water. And it's crazy where she's come to now. It was amazing to talk to her all about, like, the 25,000 tickets that she's sold for her shows that are all coming up, warehouse secret ones.
Yeah, we tried to get some details about her secret locations, but she knows how to keep a secret. I'll give her that.
She's tight-lipped.
Jared James, who we've been playing a lot of here on Triple J. Do you remember that his first song just went absolutely gangbusters? And we premiered his second song on the show and also talked about his new album because it's his first album. And he's been produced by Joel Little, who did Lord and Daniel Johns and Broods. And clearly they have a great relationship. He was just a real charming man.
Yeah, most of our guests are better than us. There's no doubt about that. Usually they don't work in the same industry, though. Jumpin' Josh Agnew is a direct competition. He works for JNet, which is a community radio station. He's 10 years old, so we got him on to teach us a thing or two.
Yeah, and on Jumpin' Josh's, Jumpin' Jake Stone. He's never jumped at all. Actually, that's not true. He's from Blue Juice and he used to jump around a lot, naked and or semi-clothed.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
Probably the next day had no idea that it had all happened.
He's a wild man and he brought that exciting nude energy to our show because it turns out he's a judge for Eurovision, which is a surprising choice.
What was the shortlist they were working
with? He was walking by the office and he just got roped in. So we just tested his skills as a judge in general and got him to settle some disputes that people were having.
And finally, Mark Ronson gave us a call to share exciting news about what his sideshows and Splendor set up on stage is going to look like. And if you haven't heard already, damn, it is so good.
And it's always just, he's such a charmer.
Oh, I was charmed by him. I was visualizing his hair the whole time, just going, oh, you're so hot.
I just want to touch that.
And on the line with us right now from the States is Jared James. How you going, Jared?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, great. What are you doing in LA?
I'm going to finish off an album that I'm working on at the moment and maybe do a little bit more writing, but just put the finishing touches on that bad boy.
Cool. That's exciting.
So the end of recording it, or have you recorded all of it and you're just doing some tweaks in production?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Most of the stuff that I've done, I just need to finish it off and do a few little adjustments here and there, but maybe re-record some stuff as well.
How long have you been working on this now?
Officially only like a few months really. I've been writing for the last year or so, but I didn't really have the agenda of writing an album. I was just writing for the sake of it. And then the necessity of having an album came up and there you go.
Cool. You just headlined your own tour. I saw one of your shows and you seemed like you were in such a perpetual state of disbelief of how many people had turned up. How did the shows go?
It was amazing. And you're 100% correct. I couldn't believe it. Like, I mean, I knew in advance that they'd been sold out, but then when you see all the actual faces of people, it's pretty incredible. And there's not really anything else that feels like that in the whole world. And I loved it.
Did that feeling sort of wear off over the course of as the show's progressed?
Well, no. It wasn't really a tour. It was only three shows, so there wasn't really much time. And I don't think it would have worn off anyway, no matter how many times, to be honest.
Throughout the course of those shows, you were playing all new material. How did that feel?
Oh, really awesome. It was cool to see how people reacted to the stuff because I really wasn't sure if people would embrace it or not, but they seemed to. That was super nice.
The album, when is that going to be coming out? In July, is that right?
I think we're looking at about August.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Because the song that obviously we've been playing a lot here so far, Do You Remember, was produced by Joel Little, who people would know has produced for like Lorde and Broods and Daniel Johns. Does he work with you on the whole album?
He's sort of helping me piece it all together. I've been working with a couple of other producers as well, but he's helping me sort of head it up and, yeah, get a little bit of structure to the whole thing. So,
who are the other producers you're working with?
I wrote a couple of songs with a guy called Malay, who you'd know did the he did Channel Orange with Frank Ocean, and he's done some work with Yellow Wolf as well. I think he just did a record with him.
Wow.
He's incredible. I'm doing some more writing with him in the next few days. Also worked with a producer from Melbourne by the name of Pip Norman. But yeah, I'm keeping it pretty tight and just working with a few people that I really trust and know that understand me.
So if you're in the process of rewriting now, are you kind of going to just chuck out a bunch of stuff that you've already done and start again while you're in LA?
Not really. I think I'm just going to... I've got a pretty good bunch of songs, I think, that make up the album, and I'm just always trying to outdo myself, I think. So I'm just going to try and write something even better that, you know, it might replace stuff that's already on the list, but you never know.
Well, we know that you have a beautiful voice, which we've heard you do. We've heard you use many times, but do you play instruments on the album as well?
Yeah, I do. I didn't have a whole lot of friends growing up. I kept to myself and stayed in my room and read books, but I also learned instruments. And so that's kind of paying off now for me, which is cool.
What are the instruments?
I learned the trumpet from a young age. Not that there's... I don't think there's any on the album yet, but we won't rule that out.
Yeah, jam it in. Find a way.
Yeah. All right, I'll do it just for you guys.
Thanks.
But I just sort of taught myself guitar and piano and a few other things as I sort of grew up and realised that music could be something that I could make a living off.
Well, we wanted to put on your new song, Give Me Something Now. Can you tell us about the song? What's it about?
It's one of those songs. It's not necessarily about anything I've been through, but something that I've observed a lot of my friends and people I know, the whole unrequited love thing, and realising that someone may not really love you as much as you love them, and sort of scrambling for a piece of them, you know?
Cool. Well, let's put it on now. This is brand new stuff.
It's the bloody world premiere.
Yeah, why not? There it is. The latest offering from Jared James, Give Me Something. That's the first time anyone in the world is hearing it. And everyone's absolutely loving it on the text line. We just had texts in saying, Jared is ridiculous. I love this as much, if not more, than Do You Remember. Isn't he delicious, Kate says. We'll be looking out for that album. It's a beauty as well.
Yeah, we've got Jared James on the phone with us right now, currently in LA. Jared, there's a real sort of vintage soul organ sound on Give Me Something. Is that the kind of music you like listening to?
Yeah, it is actually. Sometimes, yeah, it depends what mood I'm in, but it's pretty all over the place, to be honest. I've been listening to kind of just Kendrick Lamar lately, the last couple of months, but I've listened to mainly R&B and hip-hop for the last 5 to 10 years, but before that, you couldn't get me away from the Beatles and Bob Dylan and all of the old sort of poetic stuff. When all my classmates at school were listening to Nirvana and Metallica, I was listening to Stevie Wonder and Harry Nilsson and stuff that was made, you know, 10, 20 years, 30 years before I was even around. So I'm glad you picked up on that. That's cool.
Yeah, you were saying before that the song's sort of about unrequited love, but not necessarily your own. Do you often find yourself writing about themes that aren't necessarily personal, but things you're observing from friends and other people around you?
All the time, yeah. I've always been quite a shy person, and as a kid I was pretty softly spoken myself, and so I spent a lot of time people watching, and I still love doing that in as little creepy way as possible. But I observed a lot of relationships without actually being in them. So a lot of the stuff I write, yeah, I end up writing about other people more than myself.
As a shy person, how are you finding, you know, the kind of success that you've been having over the last year or so?
It's an odd thing, but to be honest, I haven't even really been home for most of it. I've been in LA a lot, and I just spent a little bit of time in Europe. So I haven't even been confronted with anything too bad, to be honest, so it's all right. We'll see how it goes.
By too bad you mean too good.
just go with the blonde wig if it gets in trouble.
Oh, right.
So are we going to hear any sort of happy songs on this Jared James album?
I hadn't thought about it, but maybe not. I think I don't really try and analyze what I write. I let it just sort of flow out of me. And I'm not necessarily a sad person, but I think I'm a thoughtful person and someone that is a little bit more emotional maybe as a guy. And so that's what I write. I try to let my subconscious be a big part of my writing process, and I guess that's what's going on back there in my brain.
Yeah, as we were saying, it has been a huge year for you. Just looking through like your Twitter and Instagram and things, every like week it feels like you're popping around between Berlin and Paris and LA and just sort of popping up at different record companies. Have they been sort of scrambling over you over the last little while?
It's been okay. I recently signed a deal with Interscope out of the States. That's part of the Universal Group, so the labels that I've been sort of visiting in other countries are all, they're like the partner labels of the teams in the other countries that will look after me. So it's good. I got through that bit and now I can relax and just get to know all the teams and get busy in different countries.
Well, you're going to be coming back to do some more shows in July after you sold out the recent shows, but you're also going to be playing Splendor in the Grass. Will that be your first festival slot you've done?
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually the first. It'll be the first festival I've been to, actually.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I've never been to Splendor. I've never went to Big Day Out or any of those things.
Well, it's very clean and comfortable.
Everyone's very relaxed and considerate.
Something tells me not telling me
this. Oh, no, it'll be great. Because, yeah, as Veronica said, you're also then doing another bunch of shows to sort of make up for the fact that your last tour just sold out so quickly. Do you think, are you going to change anything? Like, is there anything that you learned on your last sold-out headline tour that will inform the next one?
I don't think so. I'm super pumped about it. I'm just excited to do it again and play maybe a bit of a longer set because I've got a few more songs. I'm just pumped about it, to be honest.
So will you do any shows when you're in the States, just for fun?
Not at this point. I'm just, I'm kind of pretty busy trying to get it all done, the album, so that I can put that out as soon as possible. But shows will come.
Is Joel Little over there with you at the moment?
He lives here. He lives in LA. He moved over here about a little over a year ago. And so, yeah, I will be at his place in the next few days.
Once he shakes off Lord, she's busy at the moment doing the album too, right?
She's just hanging around. She's, hanging onto that dream.
Cool. Well, Jared James, thanks so much for letting us play Give Me Something for the first time. Everyone's been absolutely loving it. And we can't wait to chat to you again probably around Splendor time and then the album, which is really cool too.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for playing my music. I really appreciate it.
And those shows that Jared James is doing are on the 3rd of July at the Hi-Fi in Brisbane, on the 10th of July at the Metro in Sydney, and on the 11th of July at the Forum in Melbourne. So you get a couple of chances to catch him down the East Coast. Enjoy the rest of your time in LA.
Thank you, guys.
And you might have heard on the news this morning, there's been a bit of a hullabaloo about a pool in Darwin, the Parrot Pool. It's been some confusion as to whether or not it needs to be extended or reduced. Joe Hockey, the treasurer, a man that you would hope would understand numbers, seems to think that the 50-metre pool was actually a 49.5-metre pool, and he's given $8.8 million to extend it.
So
but now the people who are at the pool are like, no, it's actually... it's too long. It's 50.3 metres and we needed to have it reduced. So to sort this all out for us, we have someone on the scene in Darwin, our correspondent, comedian and friend, Penny Greenhalgh. How you doing, Penny?
Hey, how are you, Lewis?
Yeah, really good.
Hi, what am I?
Hey, Veronica.
Hey.
So how's the pool looking there, Penny?
It's hard to say. I mean, they set up a barrier around the pool to keep journalists away, but it's a hive of activity. There's a bunch of people in suits running around with tape measures before, but they were told no running. So now they're just walking quickly.
So is the pool too long or too short?
Well, that's the $8.8 million question. It's not easy to say. I mean, how long is a piece of string?
I'd say a piece of string that was the length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool would be 50 metres long, Penny.
Well... I wish we had that string here in Darwin because it would solve a lot of Joe Hockey's problems.
Is it not worrying that the man in charge of Australia's budget figures can't get the basic numbers right?
Well, it's not like he doesn't have experience, particularly given the budget is a quantifiable national money pool, a $434 billion pool. That's a bigger pool than this Darwin one. Not that Joe Hockey would know.
The one thing that Joe Hockey said that confused me a bit was that he said it was really important for all capital cities to have Olympic pools. Why is that?
Well, it's the same reason every capital city should have an Olympic running track or a shooting range or synchronized diving boards or winter Olympic-sized ice rinks, luge and curling lanes. I mean, Show me one major city that doesn't have all of them.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Is $8.8 million really worth it for just a couple of centimetres change, though?
Yeah. The people of Darwin just want to be able to know their exact lap time so they know whether or not they're good enough to make it to the Olympics. You never know. There's a guy here called Steve who's been swimming this pool every day for 63 years. He reckons he might be in with a chance for the Rio Olympics. And it was all flying under the radar, this development, until hockey said that it had to be lengthened.
Lengthened or shortened?
Oh, shortened hasn't weighed in yet. But I think we all know he has obvious bias when it comes to questions of length. He's from a very long line of shortened.
Well, hopefully someone can find a measuring tape that reaches the end of the pool so they can sort this out once and for all.
And thanks for listening. The people of Darwin just don't want to be shortchanged or be forced to go the extra mile.
Yeah, that seems fair. Well, I hope it all goes swimmingly for you, Penny.
It's not a funny joke.
Sorry, that was in poor taste. Yeah, I apologise. My bad. You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and that laugh that you heard when you went, that doesn't sound like Veronica's cackle or Lewis's admittedly feminine but not that feminine laugh. It was Alice in Wonderland. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Really good, but we don't have a warehouse party happening tonight. You must be pretty stoked.
I'm so stoked. I actually landed in Brisbane yesterday and went to check everything out to make sure everything was running smoothly, and kind of blew my mind. It's so cool. Seriously, I'm so excited.
Is it big?
It's so big.
Oh, wow.
They're going to be huge shows. And they completely sold out, which must be a good feeling.
I honestly didn't know how people would react. You know, I was nervous because I've actually doubled the size of the warehouses from last year. It's really cool. Thank you for anyone who's coming and going to party.
So how much does everyone know tonight about Brisbane?
They don't really know anything except today everybody got a text from me saying, hi, why don't we meet at this certain place and at this certain time, and then who knows what's going to happen. So I've been like, I don't really want to say the certain place and time.
No,
just
don't.
In case. Everyone got a text today from me.
Did anyone write back?
Well, to be honest, it was one of those texts that doesn't come directly from my number.
Totally one-way communication, Alice in Wonderland.
So what a bitch.
Why was it that you wanted to do a secret location? Have you had good experiences with that kind of thing?
To be honest, the first time that I did that, because I did the Wonderland Warehouse project last year, for me, it was a conversation I had with my agent, who's one of my best friends, actually at 3 a.m. at a strip club. That's a real thing that happened. And I was like, mate, you know what we should do? We should not do club tours. You know, we should do warehouse parties. And he's like, yeah, let's do warehouse parties. Let's make it like secret. Yeah, that's kind of how it happened. That's my drunk impersonation of myself. I noticed that a lot of people had been really supporting me for a long time, and I really wanted to kind of make the next show an experience and also include artists who I love. So last year there was Young Franco and Wave Racer. This year I have Motez, Slumberjack, an amazing producer from Los Angeles called Orr, who actually features on my record. And then actually as a little surprise for Perth and Brisbane, I have Cosmos Midnight playing too.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
That's really exciting. And I just wanted to kind of do something where it wasn't, you know, for me, I love shows where it's not about people going to be seen or anything like that. I want people to be there because they love having a dance. It's about the music. It doesn't matter what you look like or what you're wearing. You know, it just shouldn't be about that. I wanted like a community kind of thing, you know.
So are all those guys going to be at the after parties as well?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I'm throwing some after parties after every show. I actually, like, feel sick thinking about how I'm going to stay sane.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild because, like, people will come to see go to the warehouse and they'll be like, cool, I saw Alice in Wonderland, and they'll be like, cool, now we'll go to the after party and will you just do it again?
Of course, like, I mean,
it's gonna be hectic.
But it's not going to be just me. Obviously, it's going to be like all these amazing producers from around the country and from the States, and we're just going to get together and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I don't really want to give too much away.
No,
but,
that's all right.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm really, I can't, I like, I wish you guys could see what I saw yesterday when I walked into that warehouse, because I'm really... It's so crazy. What the hell?
I hope someone filmed it, right?
I filmed it. Reaction and I sent it to video? My mom.
But we will be coming to one of the shows. We'll be seeing you. You won't be seeing us.
That track there, Run, is in Mike from Nambour's Hottest 100 Top 10. He's calling it early. Uh-huh. From Alice in Wonderland. We're joined in the studio by Alice in Wonderland.
Mike. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's in a lot of other people's. So many people have bought tickets to your warehouse shows, which start tonight. Tickets for the after parties are still available, though. But you've only just come back from overseas. Tell us about
it. Yeah, I got back yesterday. it's been crazy. I mean, it started off where I played my first American show, which was Coachella. Both weekends, and that was insane. Probably one of the most epic things that's ever happened in my whole life.
Why is that?
I mean, it's Coachella. Yeah. Like that's a dream. I've been working for years and years, and you know, it's just something that, you know, I've always loved that festival, and I never actually got to go. And, you know, I was planning to go, and the fact that, I couldn't believe it. My parents came and everything. It was crazy.
Did they love it?
Well, it was weird because my parents hadn't been in the same room for about 10 years. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. But the first thing I saw when I got on stage were my parents. Like, for some reason, my eyes went straight to that. I didn't even realize. And they were standing, like, kind of, you know, arms linked, looking really happy. And I just went, hi, Mom, hi, Dad, like in front of everyone. But, it was cool. It was really cool. That was crazy. And then I played all around the country. A lot of the shows were sold out. And, you know, it's just really weird. I didn't know what people in the States, you know, their take on everything, and that they knew all the words and all the songs, and it was like really overwhelming, actually. I saw a lot of the States, and I ate a lot of hot wings and burgers.
Did you make friends with a bunch of people that you might want to work with?
I did, but I mean, like, who likes name droppers? That's kind of lame.
A name. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Scoop.
No
scoop.
Pressure. But the other thing you did while you were, when your album Run came out, was put out the stems of the track we just played, Run.
Yeah.
And just went, have at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, the label wanted to do like a lot of official remixes. And I said to them, you know what? I actually happen to love the bootlegs that I've been sent via Twitter and SoundCloud and on Facebook of these amazing kids making these incredible beats in their bedrooms. And I want to give the stems to them. Like, I'd rather give it to people that I think are completely overlooked and underrated, that, you know, I end up playing that stuff anyway more. And so, yeah, I gave the stems out and I said, do what you want with them. And so many amazing young producers sent me stuff back. And yeah, I mean, for me, like that means a lot more, because when I started producing, to even get stems from someone, it was really hard. And it's kind of like interesting as well to hear how someone's song is broken up. So like I said, you know, even if you don't do a remix, like take these sounds and like do something with it and just create, and like, it doesn't even have to be a Run remix. Like, I just want to give it out, because I just remember when I started, I didn't even have drum sounds. Like, I was in my kitchen recording whatever, if you can hear this right now, I was recording that on my iPhone voice memo and emailing that to myself, and then like turning that into drum sounds, you know. So, I mean, I think it's a lot easier these days to get drum sounds. But yeah, when I started, it wasn't like that. And also no one really gave me a chance. So yeah, that I just wanted to kind of give that out so that I could just, I don't know, I love hearing what people create.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's been really amazing watching kind of, you really have done the hard yards. I remember the last time we spoke to you was when you'd been doing crazy sets at Ibiza, just like back to back. You were surviving on like water and Red Bulls, it seems.
Yeah.
Has it sort of trained you for the busyness you're experiencing now?
I mean, I honestly feel like I feel like I haven't stopped. I really feel like I haven't stopped. You know, I was doing graveyard shifts in clubs for so long, and, you know, I was like in my bedroom working on a laptop at like 4 a.m. I'm like resting on my stomach. You know when laptops get really hot, my stomach would get really hot too. And like I'd sit there like not eat, you know, for ages and just like stare at this screen. It's probably why I have the worst eyesight ever right now. But yeah, I mean, I really just feel like, not that it's prepared me for stuff, but I feel like it's kind of, sometimes I think if people get to, I don't know how to word this, but you know, if it happens too quickly, you might kind of forget where you came from.
Yeah,
in a way.
Take it for granted.
Yeah, and so I don't know. Like I always like make time for anyone that's starting out, and yeah, I've just worked my butt off.
Yeah, well, if you want to see a battle-hardened Alice in Wonderland working her absolute butt off, you won't be able to go to any of the warehouse parties because they're all sold out. Brisbane tonight.
Oh, you can try and sneak in. I won't be
mad. Don't encourage you to sneak into your own gig.
Actually, please don't do that. I'll get in trouble. I can't believe I just said that. Yeah. I would do that, though, if I was.
Stop it. Alice, what? We just don't make us be the mum in this situation.
It's like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, but you can definitely go and see her at the after party legitimately through the purchase of tickets. You can see her at Oh Hello tonight in the after party in Brisbane, Metro City in Perth, Zhivago in Adelaide, Max Watts in Melbourne, Metro in Sydney, and the Metro in Sydney again after
and
that.
Don't forget Slumberjack or Motez, yeah. Cosmos Midnight, everyone who's amazing.
Yeah, it's come early.
Always a pleasure to chat to you. All the best for the tour. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
You're with Veronica and Lewis this afternoon, and we are joined in the studio by an actor, a musician, a comedian. You might know him from Offspring. You might have seen him in Shane Warne the Musical. Or if you were watching Play School this morning, you might have seen him as the brand new host. It's Eddie Perfect. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thrilled to have you back on the show. Always lovely to chat to you.
Oh, it's lovely.
But, you know, what's going on?
I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm hosting Play School. It's pretty weird, huh?
It's weird. You're the bad boy of musical theatrical comedy.
And look, I know what's happened to me. I know. I didn't see the episode today because I've been doing kind of publicity for it, but I got sent an advanced DVD and I had to drink a few wines just between you and me to watch it because I was really nervous, even though, like, what can I do about it? It's there. And I watched it, and you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me, like, of a 30 Rock episode where there's, like, a flashback, you know, to one of the actors is on a children's show. It looked really weird. Like, I just burst into the set of Play School and won some competition, and it was really weird. So I don't know. I don't feel like it's normal yet, but it's certainly fun to do.
At least on a show like Play School, though, there wouldn't be anything you could read online. There'd be no weird tweets or anything.
What, while you're doing it?
Well, I guess that just the audience isn't old enough, right? Are they?
Yeah, but you know, it's mums. You gotta get by the mums and dads, and you know they're. Mums can be pretty brutal.
Is this your first?
As we all know.
Is this your first go at being a children's entertainer?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I do it in my house because I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, so things get pretty weird in our house already, and that's kind of why we like it. There's a lot of singing and dancing and mucking around and making up stories, and I can't do magic, but I still do it, you know. And so it's really fun to bring that sort of level of play onto Play School. And, you know, it reaches 80% apparently. That's the stats. 80%
Whoa.
Of Aussie kids watch Play School. I don't know what the other 20% are doing, probably outside enjoying themselves. But, you know, that's a chance to be a part of a whole generation of kids' childhood. And that's really awesome responsibility, but it's also incredibly lovely.
Yeah, we heaps of other people's Benita. Isn't that odd?
I know. Well, John Hamlin is my spirit animal. That's why I take the spirit of John with me into the studio. A bit like, you know, he was kind of subversive and anarchic within the, you know, safe confines of Play School.
So this is one of the biggest jobs in Australia for an actor. What was the audition process like?
Oh, I nearly stuffed the audition totally because I arrived and I didn't think I'd been given a script. I thought it was just turn up and, you know, we'll just run some songs and you can chat or tell a story or whatever. But there was, at the bottom of an email, there was like a whole audition script and songs attached I didn't see. So I had 5 minutes to cram a song that I didn't know. Have You Ever Noticed Your Nose? Do you know that song?
No.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Don't think I had that album.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I noticed it. And so I had to learn that. And the told story, which is when you manipulate one of the toys sounds mean, but I had Humpty and I was telling a story. And so I kind of paraphrased it, but I think that sort of helped in a way because it was really immediate. The thing that kind of got me, though, I had to draw a dinosaur upside down. And I was like, ooh, that's hard. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but that's tricky.
No, what are your drawing skills like?
My drawing skills are all right the right way up. Yeah. I haven't really had any cause to do things upside down.
That's some Mr. Squiggle stuff.
That is Mr. Squiggle level skill.
Is Humpty a bit like dogs or babies in TV? Are there many Humpties or just the one?
in case something bad happens to one. You think of like Milo and Otis.
Milo and Otis,
something.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Oh, man, I killed like 10 Humpties in a row. They went over the waterfall and we couldn't get them back.
No.
No, there are, I think I don't know. It's what's really gorgeous is that there's a level of secrecy that even I'm not privy to, you know, the way in which toys are handled.
Shut up.
No, I'm not kidding you. There's like a, what they call the mansion. They have the toys that are locked in this sort of specialised case. And I think there are multiples because they have things like live touring shows. So they need to be in two places at once. But if there are multiples, there's only like one or two. They're pretty standard.
Well, Eddie, we thought since you are a man of many musical talents and also manipulating stuffed toy talents, but that's irrelevant to what I'm going to ask, but just interesting, something I won't forget.
Good to know.
But we thought we'd see if you could cover a song that we play a lot of on Triple J in the sort of style of a children's song, since you've been doing quite a bit of that.
Sure, that's a good challenge.
So we thought if anyone has any idea of a song that we play quite a bit of, maybe something more recent that we play on Triple J that you'd like to hear Eddie cover in a play school style, 0439 757 555.
Something June Rats could be good, like Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah, Dalai Lama's only got like four words in it. Totally. But I think maybe like something that already sounds like a kid's song, potentially. Like you think that maybe Eddie could sort of sneak it in without anyone noticing?
Yeah.
That sort of style.
0439 757 555 if you've got any suggestions of something that Eddie could play. So you'll play it in a kid's style, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll do it like, I don't know how to go, but I'll do it like I'm doing it on play school.
Okay, 0439 757 555, text us in. We've got Eddie Perfect in the studio, the latest and best new talent on play school.
Just don't let him near your stuffed toys.
Don't, I will manipulate them.
We're joined in the studio by the new host of Play School you might have seen this morning, Eddie Perfect. Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
He's brought along your guitar, which is excellent. And yep. We're getting some suggestions on 0439 757 555 about a song that you could possibly sing to cover in the style of Play School. So
this
anything, anything that we play already on Triple J that people would like to hear. There's a very, there's a lot of themes. A lot of the same suggestions are coming through.
Yeah, things like King Kunta from Kendrick Lamar is a big one. Could be a hard one to sneak onto Play School, I reckon. But also Covered in Chrome, Violent Soho.
Yeah.
A lot of like angry, like a lot of very sweary hip hop, like, you know, Black Skinhead, ASAP Rocky.
Ryan from Melbourne says, Foolish by Alpine.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah.
But we actually had someone say Eddie should cover Darude Sandstorm and call it the Perfect Sandstorm.
Perfect.
Not
a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah, just not so many lyrics in it, but a lot of feeling.
Yeah. Hey, kids, sandstorms. Let's sing about sandstorms. You ever been stuck in a sandstorm?
But one of the overwhelming ones, which we actually thought was wonderful, really has the feel of a sort of nursery rhyme to it, was one that Destiny from the Central Coast and many others recommended. How are you doing, Destiny?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Tell us, what was the suggestion?
I reckon Safia's new one, Counting Sheep, would be perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know this one, Eddie?
I do. I like this track. I have no idea what it's about, but I'm sure I can manipulate it to be a playtime, play school song. Sure.
All right, cool. Well, we'll give you a few minutes. We'll play a couple of tracks just to let you get your head around it and Google some lyrics.
I'll jot down some notes and we'll see what happens.
And when we come back, Eddie Perfect, the new host of Play School, covering Safia's Counting Sheep in the style of a Play School song on Triple J. What we've asked you to do is do a bit of a cover, a Play School style cover of a song we've been playing a bit of on Triple J. The overwhelming vote was for Safia's Counting Sheep. It already has a bit of a bedtimey vibe to it.
It does, yeah. It's got a dark bedtime thing. So I thought I would changed it a little bit so it was more of a kind of a positive off to bed song.
Yeah, we've seen you sort of furiously trying to work out how to play it. But it, does it take you long to learn songs?
Well, I know this one. I've heard this one a couple of times, and I just jotted down some new lyrics. So we'll see how it. I'm more nervous doing this than I was auditioning for Play School. But this will be interesting.
All right, here he is, Eddie Perfect, the new host of Play School, performing Safia's "Counting Sheep" in the style of a Play School bedtime vibe. Eddie Perfect, whenever you're ready.
All right. When you're tucked up in bed at night, how do you like to get yourself off to sleep? Maybe a grown-up sings you a lullaby. Or maybe you like to count sheep. Lovely day with all your friends. Say goodnight, then off to bed. Time for little kids to go to sleep. Drip drop, what's that drip and drop? Oh, forgot to turn the shower off. Close your eyes, don't want to hear a peep. Betty buys at sleepy time. Daddy wants to drink some wine. Won't you please give me what I need? I know it's scary sleeping on your own, but Mummy started Game of Thrones. And if I don't see the previously on Game of Thrones bit at the beginning, nothing will make sense. Nothing will make sense. So tick-tock on the hickory-dickory clock, count those never-ending sheep. Time to go to sleep. Tick-tock on the hickory-dickory clock, count those never-ending sheep. It's time to go to sleep. Good night.
Eddie, that was amazing.
Oh, thanks.
That is going to send children to have some horrible nightmares.
It will. But at least Mum and Dad will get to watch Game of Thrones and drink some wine.
So yeah.
On a Monday night. Couldn't be better timed.
Perfect.
So many nice texts coming through. One person says, kind of creeped out by this. It's very nice, though. You're very talented, Eddie.
Oh, that's nice. Creepy nice. That's a good compliment.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Eddie Perfect. We'll make sure we catch some of the episodes of Play School before we talk to you next.
Yay.
All the best for the rest of it and with everything else you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, guys.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and we have a super exciting guest on the line who's a man who's going to be here very soon in a couple of months for some pretty, pretty massive shows. And also a man we hear has just come off a 14-hour DJ set. Hello, Mark Ronson.
Hey.
What are you doing DJing for that long? What's that about?
Well, you know, like, I love DJing. So, like, if there's a cool party and there's a set of decks or something there, like, I'll jump on. So I played this one party till about 3, and then I jumped on and played this other place till like 6 in the morning, and it was just stupid. I should have just, like, gone home, but I didn't.
Because where are you in the world at the moment?
Yeah, I'm in France, so I was DJing some clubs down here, which is fun.
Because you've got a close affiliation with France, though, don't you? Isn't your wife French?
My wife is French, yeah. Her name is Josephine. I got her name with the French weird accent tattooed on my arm, and yeah, definitely.
The one thing that's happened since we spoke to you last was you put out the incredible video for Feel Right, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's you know, when we were working on Uptown Funk, you know, we were all massive fans of Mystical, so we had Mystical come to the studio in Memphis to maybe help us out. Maybe he was going to inspire us a bit for Uptown Funk. And I had this other track, which was the instrumental to Feel Right, and I was just kind of around in Memphis, and we played it for Mystical, and he was just like, whoa. And he wrote those verses, and Bruno and Phil wrote the chorus, and it was kind of like, it's like written in like basically 3 hours. And it just, you know, that's what that record's supposed to be, is just a feel-good, you know, like, funk hip-hop record. And the videos, you know, Bruno came up with a great concept, and it's that kid Brian Tardy, the little kid. He's,
God,
you know, he's
so
brilliant.
Cute.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, it is just this young boy absolutely killing, like, a very young high school talent quest. It must have been an easy decision not to do the original version of Mystical's lyrics with that child.
I don't think it would have been fair to make that young boy sing some of the explicit things that are in that song. It might have been a little too much, but he's just insane, and it was so great. You know, he came in his audition, and he did No Type by Ray Sherma. Like, that was his audition song.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't, there was nobody anywhere, near him, like, in the performance thing. We're like, this is the kid. It has to be. And he came in, and he just smashed it. And, you know, it's just, I feel like this kid's going to have, one day he's going to be, like, winning an Oscar, and he's going to be like, yeah, you know, it'll start out in this, like, crappy little music video I did for Mark Ronson, and I'll be like, you know, get to take a tiny bit of credit.
The other exciting thing that's come out since we last spoke to you is Every Day with A$AP Rocky and Rod Stewart. You produced that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You know, I talked to the guys last time I was up at Triple J, and I was telling them that, because we didn't know at the time, you know, I'd done this song with Rocky potentially for my album, and then just finishing the song and stuff, it was so good, and I didn't want to rush it, so I didn't throw it on the record. And you know, Rocky, I spoke to Rocky, and he was like, I love that song, I want to do it for my album. And I was so, yeah, just thrilled to have a part, maybe the chance of being a part of that. So we finished it, and we did it for his record, and, you know, he had a big part in the production of it, especially the second verse when it goes kind of like turn, because that's his sound. And I'm really proud of that record, and apparently Rod Stewart's into it, so, you know, it's all good, and it's really cool.
That's amazing. Is there anyone else that you're trying to work with at the moment? It feels like at the moment you just must be able to give everyone a call and they'd say yes.
You know what? Like, I always love the opportunity to, like, discover new talent. You know, that's why when we were making this record, you know, Jeff and I took this trip to the Deep South to discover, like, a new female vocalist to sing I Can't Lose, and found Keone, and, you know, like Daniel Merriweather and Santi Gold and Lily and all these artists that I had the luck to work with on that first record. I really kind of like, it's awesome to work with superstars, don't get me wrong. Like, I love these people's music, but I love the excitement of working with somebody on the first record.
Awesome. Well, up next, we want to ask you about the exciting news, the exciting announcement you've got about your Splendor in the Grass sideshows and what you're going to do up on stage. Some super exciting guests.
That was Daffodils from Mark Ronson, featuring Tame Impala's Kevin Parker. You're with Veronica and Lewis on Triple J, and we are joined by the man behind that, Mark Ronson, who was just announced, well, a little while ago, on the Splendor in the Grass lineup. Mark, it's a pretty incredible list on that Splendor lineup. Is there anyone you're excited to kind of be on that bill with?
I mean, pretty much everybody. Like, there's no band on that that I wouldn't, like, happily stand to, you know, their set. And it is great. And, you know, I've never played Splendor before, and Australia was so great to us on the last record and the shows, and it's, you know, it's really important to me that we bring a great show when we come over, and, you know, like, and that's why. Have we said who, like, our special guests yet are? Am I allowed to say? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, tell us firstly what the setup is like on stage.
Because I don't think we've said any of this yet.
No,
you haven't.
I think I'm allowed to say it, but yeah, I mean, we're bringing, I've got, you know, the best band I've ever put together, and we have, you know, obviously, I wasn't going to come to Australia and do shows if Kevin couldn't come do these shows with us. He's such an important part of this record. And so we really, it was like, you know, I spoke to Kevin. I was like, will you come do this? I know Tame Impala's, but they're putting out an incredible record. He's going to have his own whole thing with that. But he was cool enough to be like, I want to do these shows. And so that's massive, the fact we're going to be able to play Daffodils and Leaving Los Feliz and Summer Breaking for the first time. And then, you know, Andrew Wyatt, of course, who's been such a big part of everything I've done, Somebody to Love Me, Mike Snow, this album, Heavy and Rolling, and MNDR and Keone Starr, and Theophilus London is coming with us. So, you know, these are really going to be, these are the biggest shows we've ever played, and I'm putting everything into rehearsals, like making sure we can come and do a great show, because, you know, Australia, where we came and played 2 years ago, like, those are some of my favorite shows we've ever played. That's where I met Kevin, you know, and so many great people. So it's really important that, you know, that we bring something special when we come over.
Yeah, so you've never toured with this sort of setup for Uptown Special before?
No, I'm about to go in the studio and rehearse for like a month just for shows. Like, I'm not joking when I say, like, these shows are important to me. Like, this is what we're doing for the next month.
And then will you go anywhere after Australia with the show?
That's it. No, just Australia only this this album. No, I don't know. Maybe, hopefully. But he's definitely the only ones that are, you know, in the kind of schedule. You know, we do Glastonbury and some festivals. But this is all really for these dates that we're coming over to do.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. In summary, a full live band, including drums, keyboard, a brass section, backup singers. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, Kevin Parker, Daniel Merriweather, Andrew Wyatt, Theophilus London, Kiani Starr, all coming up on stage with you. And then at the side shows,
MNDR, Alex Greenwald. I mean, yeah, I could keep going, but I don't know how long my interview is.
Oh, well, we got time.
Also, TK Meiser, Yolanda Be Cool, Jones Jr., Pond are going to be, it sounds like it's going to be absolutely manic.
Oh, yeah, and we got Pond. That's so crazy. You know, Jay from, you know, Pond is somebody else, you know, obviously I met when we were doing the shows at Future. It's MGMT Entertainment Parlor, and he's just recorded like his new solo record in my studio in London. And Kieran J. Callanan is, I should just set up like an Australian hostel for musicians in my studio in London, because it just seems to be like that's where everyone's coming through to make their records. But like I said, I'm not saying this because we're on the phone, I'm talking to an Australian station or anything. Like, you guys, Triple J and everything, have been so good to us, you know, and the people I've met by coming over there, it's really like, it, you know, there's like a bond and relationship there that I'm really lucky to have.
That's so cool. So have you been working on Kieran J. Callanan's album too, or has he just been doing it in your studio while you've been away?
No, he's just been doing it. He doesn't need me, man. It's like a one-man, he's a one-man show. So, and you know, that's the nice thing about being on the road and knowing that really talented, exciting people are making like great music in my place when I'm not there, and hopefully like, you know, tidying up a little bit as well.
Are there any other Australians you are working with though?
How many more do you want?
No, like on their
records. There's like two left that you haven't got involved yet.
On their records, I meant.
I went to see the Preachers play the other night in London. I love watching them play. It's like, you know, killer band, great songs and stuff like that. So, you know, not necessarily a band I'm working with, but definitely like, you know, another great band coming out of Australia for sure.
Well, Mark Ronson, you've been DJing for 14 hours straight, and you have been DJing a lot of late nights and a lot of, in a row. So we should maybe let you go and get some sleep, but we can't wait to have you in the country. You're going to be doing shows on the 22nd of July at the Metro in Perth, the 28th at the Horden in Sydney, and the 29th at Margaret Court Arena in Melbourne. And, of course, Splendour in the Grass, and just a ridiculous lineup at that and all your side shows. We absolutely cannot wait to have you back and to see you put on that incredible show.
Honestly, I can't wait. I mean, these are the first big real shows of Uptown Special with all the people from the album. So, you know, I just can't wait.
Great. That's so cool.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a few months. Get some sleep and we'll see you soon.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Sex tip of the week.
Sex tip of the week.
Now it's time for another sex tip of the week. Brought to you by
Queensland Police Assistant Commissioner Clem O'Regan.
Capsicum spray and underclothing don't mix.
Sex tip of the week.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
And no matter what you got up to on the weekend, I guarantee it wasn't nearly as wild, as insane as Chris Keeping from Darwin, who was kite surfing off of Darwin Beach when he got attacked by a 2.5 metre saltwater crocodile. We have him on the line now. Chris, how are you feeling?
A bit sore, a bit rattled, yeah. Definitely a different experience. Not my usual weekend playtime, yeah.
Can you tell us what happened on Saturday morning?
Yeah, look, the wind was good. I've been watching the winds on the weather reports for a couple of days, so I know, like, Saturday would be a good morning. And I hit the beach around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and, yeah, for about 2.5 hours, having a great time.
And so, then?
Until?
Yeah, I got trapped. I was about 100 metres offshore. The wind fell away and my kite fell onto itself, so it half-tangled itself up. So I was sort of laying in the back of the water, and I knew that I was in sort of half the wrong spot because I wasn't anywhere that I could stand. I'd had a look behind me and all the rest of it. And in the back of my mind, you just think about it like there might be a shark or a croc out here, but you're sort of like too busy worrying about trying to get your kite back up in the sky. Yeah, and on my right side, I only saw a figure for a split second, and then it was like getting hit by a Mack truck. He slammed me from my right-hand side. I started shaking around. I knew straight away it was a croc. I thought, this is it. This is game over. Yeah, I'm not getting out of this. And he shook me around, and I just went limp, like with fear, like paralyzing fear. He went real quiet. He stopped shaking me, and that's the first time I got a good look at him, and I realised that I was inside his mouth and that my right hand, my arm on my right side was crushed over the top of my chest, and his snout was like nearly off to one side of the middle of my chest, and he had a hold of me from my back end. So
what happened? What did you do?
Not much. I sat there and thought, well, I started saying to myself, I'm out in the middle of the water. There's no one around. No one's coming to get me. I think this is it. I don't think I'm getting out of this one. Anyway, I put my hand, my left hand on his snout, and he didn't move. Like, I was trying to brace myself if he was going to shake me again, but he just was just lying still. A split second, I thought, well, I can't open his mouth because his jaws are way too powerful. And I sort of, when I was looking back down him, I got caught in his eye line, like I seen his eyes, and he sort of was blinking because we were bobbing up and down in the water. And I just said to myself, well, the only thing I can do is stick my finger straight in your eye and hope for the best. Like, I couldn't do anything else. So I basically run my hand up the top of his head, and his head was a decent size. And I sort of turned my head, and I could feel his eye, like, popping in and out of his skull.
Oh. So
as soon as, like, I knew that my finger was near his eye, I just jammed it in there as hard as possible.
Oh,
that's yeah. Filthy.
And what did he do?
It was that quick, he dropped me.
Yeah, wow.
I didn't even feel him let go. That's how quick he was. He let me go, and he spun around. He did a 180, and he smacked me with his tail on the way around.
Oh. So what are the injuries you've got now?
I actually got out of it pretty well, and I think it's got a lot to do with the gear I was wearing at the time. I've got a 35mm puncture on my top shoulder from one of his canines on the top. I've got a small puncture just under my armpit from his bottom jaw. And I've got another puncture just up near my rib cage, near my lung, where the top of his jaw line was. I've got a lot of cuts and abrasions from where he was shaking me, like the teeth running back and forth over my body.
No.
One of the most incredible things we were hearing before was that you were just immediately like, I vow to go back out into the water.
Yeah, I know, definitely. Being a local Darwin born and bred, we live with crocs all the time. And you've just got to understand that that's their home. I definitely won't be going out to Lee Point ever again, but
yeah, I'll bet.
Because, that was just a bit full on for my taste.
Oh, Chris Keeby from Darwin, you're a brave man. Well done on making it through and living to tell the tale.
Yeah, you're right. No problem.
You're with Veronica and Lewis this afternoon, and Lewis and I have noticed there's a lot of news articles around at the moment in the last couple of years that seem to be claiming to know what the next trend is, about what the cool people are doing, about what's cool. That's why we got in our friend and comedian to tell us what's cool, Becky Lucas.
What's cool?
Hey, Becky, how are you?
I'm good. How are you going? Veronica, yeah. Lewis, good to see you.
What's happening?
Well, coolness and trends have changed again this week. As always, I'm all over it, like Lewis is all over a J.K. Rowling novel.
we're going to get back into the Lewis looks like Harry Potter thing?
Yeah,
is that what's going to happen
here?
Yeah,
that's the theme of today.
Good.
So the hottest trend at the moment in New York, bridal fashion week, is see-through wedding gowns.
What? All see-through all the way through?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, right? But it's super cool. It's really cool.
So how like see-through are they? Like, is it, do you wear underwear underwards, or is it just like full nudity?
It's just very thin fabric, lots of holes. But trust me, it's very cool.
Mm.
It's very hot because the see-through, it cuts all your preparation time in half. It's just, it's practically like goodbye bridezillas. It's like a nighty, like you just roll out of bed and down the aisle.
What about see-through like groom suits? Any talk of that?
Not interested.
Mm. Just like a really nice suit with like a hole in the crutch?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen that trend come my way.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm just reporting what I see.
Okay. Must not be cool yet.
It's just not another form of inequality, really.
Yeah.
But traditionally, the white wedding gown was a sign of virginity. But as we know, that has not been around since the 1960s.
It's a good juxtaposition.
Virgins are out. The see-through gown lets everyone know that the bride is DTF. Yeah. That's
cool. Oh, good to know.
Yeah. So that's cool.
All right. What else is cool, Becky?
Okay, this one's good. I'm very relieved that this next trend is in. Lewis, put down your butter beer because the next trend is drinking hand sanitizer to get a buzz.
Who reported this? This doesn't feel like a real thing that's cool.
No, it's a thing. People are drinking hand sanitizers. You wait by next summer. all the bars will be serving a new range of hand sanitizer cocktails.
Oh.
They have hand shandies, sanitizer teenies, and germ-free margaritas.
Well, I guess it means you have a clean mouth, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you have to wash your mouth out with soap.
Although, yeah, it's extremely cool.
There'll be lots of martini drinkers who find it really difficult to swear afterwards. Like, that is awful. It's really awful.
It's cleaning up people's ass. That's
cool. Good to know.
Let's keep moving, Veronica and Lewis. Trends move so fast these days that they won't be cool by the end of this segment. They move faster than a game of Quidditch. Hey, Lewis.
Okay. I'll see what's happening here.
Boom, boom, boom. Take that, have I?
All right. Fair enough.
So graffiti's always been cool ever since someone carved bum into the side of the Sphinx. In the 80s, you know, we were putting graffiti on New York trains, and the millennium saw us sticking up stenciling all over London. Shout out to Banksy. And now graff is higher and cooler than ever before. I'm talking drones.
Right, okay.
And drones get a bad rap because of all the child murder and all, but thanks to renowned graffiti artist Katsu, you can forget all about that.
So drones have, like, graffiti cans attached, or what's going on?
Yeah, like, basically what happened was Katsu used a drone graffiti can to vandalize a billboard of Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. Right.
He managed to spray all over her face.
It ruins the allure of, like, the hooded guy in a laneway, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just a nerd. With just,
yeah.
So graffiti's now not cool, which is quite cool again.
Yeah.
Man. That's cool. It's hard to keep up with the cycle, isn't it?
Totally.
It's so lucky we have you here, Becky.
That's all right. I want a drone graffiti bum onto the moon.
Yeah.
I go as high as I can.
Got to have dreams. Well, thanks for coming and telling us what's cool.
I'd love to know your sources sometimes.
Oh, I can't tell you.
Yeah,
Wouldn't be cool for me to tell you. Mm. But just as I need to be the only one with this information for job security.
For this segment security.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, I look forward to having you in again next week to tell us what's been cool.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
See you.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and we are joined in the studio by a third member of our team, the third J in this Triple J scenario that we have with us. He is the general manager of his own radio station called JNet, which broadcasts out of Hobart. He's the 6 till 7 p.m. announcer. He started radio when he was in 2011, when he was 6 years old. We have with us 10-year-old Josh Agnew. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, guys. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, what did you get up to today, Josh?
Well, today I had school and I did cross country and I pretty much died halfway through it.
Oh, no. So you're not such a sporty guy, more of a radio guy?
Yeah, more of a radio.
How long's your cross country?
I think it was 2.5 kilometres.
Oh, that's a long way. That's a big... Did anyone walk? Did there a lot of, like, cross country walkers?
I walked, I think,
you
quarter
walked.
Of the way.
Yeah, yeah, you were the walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you get a bit older, Josh, you realise it's fine to walk, you know? You got your own bloody radio station. It's fine to walk.
So, yeah, for people who didn't, we had you on yesterday telling us a little bit of a story about the radio station that you started in your own house, JNet. But for people who missed it, can you tell us how you ended up, like, when did you start this? How did it happen?
I started in a community radio station in the... in the Midlands of Tasmania, and I basically went there one day and started off recording a station ID, and then from then on they asked me if I would like to do a show, and then 2 years later I started my own station.
Wow. Is this the most adult thing you do, or you're just generally quite a mature man?
Mature.
Do you get a lot of street cred at school from being a radio host?
Not everyone believes me, so... Like, my friends believe me, but not many people.
Because the unfortunate thing was happened was that the server that you used to broadcast online with went down, and so you've been off air for a little while now, and then you did a crowdfunding campaign and you got back on. So you've been off air for a while. When's your first show back?
So my first show back is on Saturday between 11 and 1.
Oh, okay. What's the plan for the show?
So it's just going to be a top 20 music show. And I'll have some interviews, and yeah.
So it's just the the chart top 20. Is that what we're looking at, or your top 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we did say that we would help. Who was the interview with? Did you just say you're doing an interview?
I'm doing an interview with the Wolf Brothers. Hopefully, sometime.
Okay, yeah, cool. Sweet. Well, we said that we would help you out, and your request was that you would like some sort of radio production, so like an opener, the thing that starts the show. And we've been able to help you out.
Yeah, we thought we'd make you two, and then you could choose which one you liked best. Well, awesome. One of them's pretty intense. We'll might start with that one and see how you feel. So okay. These are two little introductions that we made you that we thought you could help relaunch your show with on Saturday, the Josh Agnew Show on JNet. Here's number one.
JNet. This is JNet. You're jamming with Jumpy Josh Agnew.
Listening to Josh makes me feel so young again.
JNet. Josh finds all the underground songs. That's why I love him.
He's got such a fresh perspective on the world.
JNet with Josh Agnew.
Then that's when you come in and start talking.
Oh, my gosh.
Jumping Josh Agnew? Awesome. Too much? Jumping.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome.
We were a bit nervous about giving you a radio nickname. We were like, well, what if he doesn't like Jumping Josh Agnew?
That's awesome.
All right.
Okay. Well, all right. Option, was there anything you didn't like about that particularly?
No, everything. I loved everything about that. That was just awesome.
Okay, all right. Well, there's the second one, your second choice.
This is JNet.
The voice of Tasmania.
When I have a tough day at school, I just turn on Josh and everything's all right.
This is JNet with Josh Agnew.
What do you reckon, Josh?
I think I like the first one, but that one's really
We liked the second one way better.
Well, we'll give them both to you and you can take your pick on the day. But stick around, Josh. We might have a little Veronica Lewis and Josh moment after this.
What does that mean? Talk back.
Yeah.
That's right.
What did you think it meant?
I don't know.
This is a Josh a track requested by Josh. It's Birds of Tokyo.
Veronica Lewis, Triple J.